Well, today I'm really excited and happy to have here with us David and Jennifer Hatley from Christian Ministries in Africa. As you can see, David and Jennifer are not newbies on the continent of Africa. They've been there since 1985. When Jennifer and David stepped off the plane in Africa for their very first time to go there to plant a ministry, they knew one person and the whole nation of Kenya when they stepped off. And I'll let David tell you what God has done. But they are wonderful people. They've been through the fire. Everybody wants to be in the ministry, and believe me, I understand that because I like being in the ministry, but there's fire involved in ministry, and they've been through the fire. They've seen God do amazing, amazing, and wonderful things. And today, after the service is over, they're going to be around here. We're going to have a lunch downstairs where they'll talk a little bit more about how, if you want to get involved individually with the ministry in Africa, they'll talk a little more about that. There'll be a lunch, but if you didn't pre-order a lunch, there may be some available. If there's not, you can sit through it anyway, okay? Just sit there and listen to it. So without any further ado, I just want to ask my brother David Hatley. David, come on up and just take this time and minister any way the Lord tells you to. He said, I'd turn you.
Yeah, it came off my back.
Oh, it came
Sorry.
Off your back.
We're having technical problems here.
Yes, I think it is.
Okay, thank you. Amen. There I am. Praise God. Thank you, Pastor Parkey and Rhonda, for this opportunity to stand before you today. I do not take it lightly to stand in another man's pulpit. And I always want to make sure that when I stand in another man's pulpit, I will honor the word of God and the man of God who stands in this pulpit every week. Amen? Amen. So thank you for the opportunity. And Jennifer and I have been in Kenya for almost 34 years. We've been married almost 42 years. I turned 70 years old. I turned 70 years old this summer, and we're not over the hill yet, but we've got a real good view. And God has blessed us in these 34 years. We've been able to establish work in six nations, Kenya, Uganda, Rwanda, Burundi, the Democratic Republic of the Congo, and also Tanzania. And we've got children's homes, we've got schools, and as we look back at the past, it's hard to believe all these years have passed, and we've seen what God has done. Because it is not our ministry, it is His ministry. We are stewards of what God is doing. And it makes it a lot easier because if it's His ministry, He pays for the ministry.
Yes, He does.
And I don't have to struggle all the time. Hallelujah. Yeah. And so it is a joy, and I do greet you this morning in that wonderful name of Jesus. Yes. The only name by which man might be saved. From the rising of the sun till the setting of the sun today, that name will be lifted up all over the world.
Yes.
And people will come into the kingdom of God and receive Him as Lord and Savior today. And it is great to be here with you today. I want you to turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 4. And we're going to read verses 6 through 8. And the Bible says this. Paul is writing to the young man Timothy. He says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but to all who have loved His appearing." Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You that today You will speak to our hearts. You will change us. You will teach us. You will direct us from Your word. Encourage us all today and bring comfort by the word of God that rests in us. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
The title of this message would just be Leaving a Legacy. Leaving a Legacy. Paul is exhorting Timothy. And we can begin to see Paul's legacy to all of us, or spiritual heritage, if you want to call it that. He said, I have kept the faith. I fought the good fight. I have finished my race. What wonderful words to leave behind to the generations who will follow. I was thinking, if Jesus tarries the next 100 years, if he tarries, and church history is written, what will they say about us? Yes. What will they say about the church of today, our generation? The churches in Africa, the capstone church here. Right. What are they going to say about us? Church history is written in the future. I pray that what they will say is they fought the good fight. They kept the faith and they finished the race. And they handed the baton to the next generation. They raised up leaders and they raised up young men and women and left a spiritual legacy and heritage that they could walk in and follow. Amen. I want the church here and in Africa to make a difference in this generation, in the time we have been given. I want to do something significant. Don't you feel something on the inside of you sometime and you just, I want to do something that makes a difference. I want to do something that will be significant. I want to do something to say thank you for such a great salvation. I feel the Spirit of God speaking to me today, and I believe to all of us, we can do something of eternal worth, something that will last, something that will leave a legacy. I want all of us to leave a legacy, a spiritual heritage to our children, to our grandchildren, to those who follow behind us. I know that in Kenya, Jennifer and I, we pastor a church, but we oversee over 250 churches. And the one thing I speak to them all the time, and I preach all the time, is who we are, they will follow. If they see character in us, if they see goodness in us, they're going to follow what they see. Some men and women have started well, but they don't finish well. I want us, hallelujah, all of us to finish well. We have a purpose here. We have a destiny to fulfill. All of us can make a difference in some way. Some may not be called to be missionaries. Some of you may not be called into full-time ministry to stand at the pulpit and pastor a church or be on the staff, but you all can do something. I loved seeing the volunteers. God bless all of you so much. The people who volunteer their time and their hearts to pour into the next generation, to those who are following, to the children's teachers who are teaching the children. Because, listen, you never know. The next Paul might be in your group. The next Reinhard Bonnke, T.L. Osborne, may be sitting on the swings outside. You never know. And you will speak into their lives. We want to pass the baton to the next generation. Sometimes I say it this way. I'm at the age now, I've looked into the tunnel, and the light now is not a train. Hallelujah. Because sometimes I've looked down the tunnel and a train knocked me down. But right now I can see God's plan. I can see the kingdom. I can see his purpose and plan and destiny for my life. There's a word for here, someone here today, I believe, and it's, listen, you've come too far to turn back now. Somebody here today, you're struggling. You've been struggling with some issues in your life. You've been struggling. It seems like the smoke and the fire has just been surrounding you, burning you. But listen, you've come too far. Turn to your neighbor and say, you've come too far to turn back now. Somebody needs to hear that. Help me preach this message. Help me preach this message. Tell them, you've come too far. You've come too far to turn back now. I like the people to help me preach. Hallelujah. Amen. In Luke 17:32, Jesus said something interesting. He said, remember Lot's wife? Remember Lot's wife. And I know when we remember Lot's wife, obviously we think about she looked back. She turned back. Here's a woman, though, who's being remembered. She's being remembered by Jesus. She looked back. You see, she'd come too far to turn back then, but she turned back. She looked back. You've come too far, my friends. Don't turn back now. That's right. Keep your eyes on the cross. Keep moving forward. Yes. It's funny, the things we remember, isn't it? I remember singers. Now, this will show you my age. I remember Elvis Presley. I remember the Beatles. because they were the ones who were singing as I was growing up. And I remember the songs. I remember Buddy Holly, "That'll Be the Day." These are things I remember. I remember songs. Songs that take us to another time and another place. When you hear a song, all of a sudden you're just transported to another time. It's another place. Most of the time, it's a good time. I was remembering the first astronaut, Alan Shepard. I was in junior high school, and the principal put it on the radio so we could hear him as he lifted off and as he went into space. And I remember that. I remember movies. I remember a movie once that was named Hatari. Now, Hatari in Swahili means danger. And so it's interesting that the movie I remember, now I'm in Kenya, and the movie was about Kenya. 1963, I remember when John F. Kennedy was assassinated. I remember that day. Because that day, my mother, I was 15 years old, and my mother came and got me out of school. Now, we weren't allowed to miss school. How many of you were raised that way? Your mama said no. Even if you're sick, you get up and you go to school. Well, she brought me out of school. I didn't know what was going on. She said, "The president has come to Fort Worth and is flying to Dallas. And we're going to go see him. We know where to stand." So we went. We stood on the side of the road. And sure enough, he came down. He came by. And we saw Lyndon Johnson, the vice president. We saw the president. And I think he waved at me. I'm not sure. I remember him going like this. Of course, there were thousands of us up and down the road. I got back to school. And about 30 minutes later, I found out our president was dead. I'll never forget that day. I remember that day. Jesus said, "Remember." Lots why. I remember some things in my life. I'm sure all of you have memories, things that you remember. I remember August the 7th, 1998, in Nairobi when the U.S. Embassy was bombed. Thousands of people were injured, hundreds killed. I remember that. I remember September the 11th, 2001, when the planes flew into the towers. These are things we remember. And Jesus said, "Remember Lot's wife." Now, bringing that up to today, or what we're talking about, is what will the church in the future remember about us? What will they say about us? How can we live our life in order to fulfill our purpose and to leave a legacy for those who will follow? Very quickly, I'm going to give you five things you can do to be able to leave a legacy that I believe people can follow. I believe if you keep these things incorporated into your life. Number one, some of it's pretty simple stuff, but number one, you've got to have a vision for your life. Habakkuk 2:2, and says, "Write the vision so that others may read and run with it." You need a vision for your life. You need a vision not just for the ministry that maybe God has given you, but you need a vision for your life, your family. Right now, if I ask you, what is your vision? Where do you see yourself in 3 years? Do you have a vision for 3 years? Where are you going to be in 5 years? Where do you see yourself? Where do you see your family? What do you see going on in 5 years? You've got to be able to have a vision for your life. And you have to be able to walk in that vision. Proverbs 29:18 said, "Where there's no vision, the people perish." Another one says, "When there's no revelation, people cast off restraint." In other words, without vision, people wander aimlessly. Without a vision, you're already where you're going to be. You understand? You've already arrived if you don't know where you're going. So you got to know where you're going. What do you see down the road? What is it that some of you are young, you're looking at education. You're saying, "Well, I do this, I will be there." Good. Keep the vision in front. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10, to save time, I won't look at it and read it. But it says, if you keep these things in your life, he's talking about patience, virtue, all these things coming down, but he says, you will never stumble. When I was reading that, what I saw was, if you have characteristics of God in your life, you will never stumble. That's a vision. I don't know how many of you, you're probably too young to, I know in Kenya that I've been out in the bush at times and I'd have to go to the toilet at night. Well, the toilet was out the door and up the hill and around. And so if you didn't have a torch or a flashlight to show your way, you would stumble all the way. Right. You see, without vision, you will stumble. You will stumble through your life trying to find out what it is God wants you to do, but you're always stubbing your toe on something. A circumstance hits, and you stumble because your vision is not clear. You need to have a clear vision of where you're going and what you're going to be doing. The second thing, you got to maintain your values. Maintain your values, the core values. At our churches in Kenya, we have 8 core values of who we are. It's our DNA. It's who we are when we get up in the morning. It's who we are when we go to bed at night. So you've got to maintain your values. You can't compromise what you believe. Compromise will lead to no vision, for one thing. So maintain your values. Galatians 5, 22 and 23 talks about the characteristics that we need to have, love, and then there's all the other ones that follow in there. Have a vision. Maintain your values. And number 3, be a willing vessel. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 20 and 21 talks about there's many vessels in a house, but God wants you to be a vessel of honor. Hallelujah. Be a willing vessel. Be a vessel of honor. Be a vessel that God can use and pour His presence into. And then that presence will flow out as you carry out what He wants you to do. Be a willing vessel. Acts chapter 9 and verse 15. Let's read that one. Acts 9 verse 15. This is the story of Paul on the Damascus Road. The Lord is talking to Ananias. He's told Ananias to lay his hands on Paul. And Ananias is saying, I don't want to do that. You know who Paul is. Paul has been persecuting the church. But then the Lord said to him at this point, but the Lord said to him, verse 15, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. I'm going to show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. You know, if you're called into the ministry, I'm talking about those who feel that maybe one day you may be called into the ministry, that you'll be a willing vessel. God's going to pour a spirit in, but things are going to happen. Yeah. The devil comes at you so hard. Jennifer and I, the last several years, have just, we don't understand it at times. She had ovarian cancer. I've had leukemia. But just before we left on this trip, we both got clean bills of health. There's no cancer. And I say it like this. When the smoke finally cleared, we were still standing. Hallelujah. We're still standing. Another scripture says, in Psalm, I think it's 82, it says, I may be weeping, but we're still walking. Hallelujah. Still walking, still moving, smoke's cleared, still standing, still walking, still doing what the Lord has called us to do. You've got to have a clear vision for your life. I can't say that enough. Clear vision of where you're going, your family. What do you see for your family? What do you see for those, your relatives and those, your friends, those of around you? You got to maintain your values. You got to make sure that you don't compromise your beliefs. That what you believe, those that make you who you are. And then be a willing vessel that God can use. God wants to use people. I know that when the Lord called Jennifer and I thought it was hard for me to believe that He wanted to use us. Because there were so many other people who were qualified. I was raised Baptist. Jennifer was raised Methodist. We got married in the Lutheran church. You know, I've never been to Bible school, never been to a seminary. We were brought up in the church, and it's good to see Pastor Wilhite and Velma here today, because he's one of the elders who laid hands on Jennifer and I and sent us to Kenya. So I'm part of his legacy, because he laid hands and sent us out almost 34 years ago. So I honor you today. I honor you today for the service you've given to God and the way you've kept your character and your moral integrity. There's probably many more besides me that you've laid hands on that have gone out and are serving the Lord today. The fourth thing, you need to be, or you need to understand vindication. Psalm 17 in verse 2 says this, your vindication comes from my presence. We have been vindicated. You got to have a vision. Maintain your values. Be a willing vessel. But you've got to understand your vindication. Vindication simply means this. You have been declared innocent. Hallelujah. Somebody needed to hear that today. Your past has been screaming at you. The things that were back here are screaming at you today. See, remember. See, we got somebody else remembering things too. The devil is trying to get you to remember. You remember. You were 15 years old. You remember that? You remember the summer you were 16? You remember that? Listen, the past is the past. Hallelujah. The past is the past. Do not be defined by your past. Be defined by your future. Let your future define who you will be from this moment on. We call it defining moments in life. I can go back through my life and I can see defining moments that happened to me that began to define who I was and the direction I was going. I can look at the different times I made choices. See, we all make choices in life.
Yeah, that's right.
And those choices determine our destiny. Decisions we make determine our destiny. And if God is involved and we have that I believe someone here today is going to have a defining moment. A defining moment in your life. Something's going to happen and it's going to define who you are from this point on. And as you carry on and be what God has called you to be, it's going to define you. It's going to begin to define what God has done in your life or what He's going to do in your life. You have been declared innocent. Turn to your neighbor and say, you've been declared innocent. Say, you've been declared innocent. Come on, help me preach this. You've been declared innocent. Hallelujah. And what God has made free, He is free indeed. Hallelujah. I'm free today. I'm free today. Hallelujah. I'm free. I love the Lord. I thank Him every day for calling Jennifer and I to Africa. I don't know where I would be today. When at Church on the Rock in Rockwall, Texas, when the Lord called us, it was a defining moment in our life. We were business people, owned auto parts stores. We wanted to be rich Texans. But there was a defining moment one Sunday morning in a service much like this where the Holy Spirit of God spoke to our hearts and it changed the whole direction. It was a defining moment in our life of who we would be. Oh yeah, the past was still speaking. How can you do that? You're nobody. Oh, we heard the devil. You're nobody. How can you do this? How can you? Who are you? Have you ever heard that voice?
Yes.
Say, who are you? Who are you to do this? Who are you to serve? Who are you to teach young people? We know where you came from. We know who you are. We know your background. We know your education. We know your family, those from where you're from. But I know this. God knows who we are.
Yes.
Hallelujah. He knows who we are. And He's called us and He's set us apart. Have a vision. Maintain your values. Be a willing vessel. Understand your vindication. You have been set free. And whatever the Lord has set free, He is free indeed.
Right.
You're free from the bondage of sin. You're free from all of that. Your past is past. Don't be defined by your past anymore. Be defined on your future and where God is taking you. And the fifth thing is, you were singing that, and you mentioned it several times, is you walk in your victory. We were singing about the victory as you were taking the microphone. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 57. Let's read that. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 57. And the Bible says, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus went to the cross according to the scriptures. He died on the cross. according to the Scriptures, buried in a tomb according to the Scriptures, rose from the dead according to the Scriptures. That's the message. That's the message of the gospel. It's very simple. Very simple. He died for your sins, and He's given you the victory. Someone said it this way: when Jesus hung on the cross, you were on His mind. You were on His mind that day. 2,000 years ago, as the blood was running down, as the thorns had been crushed into His head and the blood was running down His face, as He was looking up, you were on His mind today. Today, you were on His mind. And when you received Him as your Lord and your Savior, and you're walking in the power, and you're walking in the victory that you have been granted. Amen. That's what the Scripture says. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You've been given the victory. Turn to your neighbor and say, you've been given the victory. You've been given the victory. Hallelujah. Now, why am I doing this? I'm going to help you remember. When you leave here today, you're not going to forget what I had to say. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For a fruitful, productive life and fulfilling your purpose, make sure you've got a clear vision of where you're going, and you won't stumble. You've got clear vision, you won't stumble. Even when the circumstances of life, and it's going to happen, folks. Stuff just happens, you know? We struggle. We don't understand why we went through what we've gone through the last few years. But I know it's made us stronger now. He said, I'm 70 years old, and I'm looking at the finish line. I know how Paul felt. I'm looking at the finish line. He said, I fought the good fight. Hallelujah. You know what a good fight is? It's the one you win.
That's right.
Hallelujah. When I was in the sixth grade, there was a bully, and he was picking on a friend of mine. He was a pretty good-sized boy. In fact, I think he was 14 years old, and we were all 11 and 12. He was, you know, one of those who didn't make the grade or something. Anyway, he challenged me to a fight. You know, what can you do? All your friends are looking. You got to fight. So we fought, and I lost. And I had blood all down my nose and down my shirt, and I went home, and I remember my dad looking at me and says, what happened, son? I said, well, I had a fight. He said, what was it about? I told him. I said, but it was a good fight. And he goes, no, wasn't a good fight. You lost, son. I said, okay. I've always remembered that. You fight. The good fight is the one you win. You may have been knocked down a few times, but in the end, you win. You will stand back up again. No matter what's going on, you will keep standing and you'll keep moving and you'll keep fighting the good fight of faith. Hallelujah. Maintain your values. Who you are. What are your values? What is your core values of your life? Your DNA. What makes you tick? Hallelujah. And be a willing vessel that God can use. And understand vindication and walk in the victory that God has given you. If you do that, you're going to have the presence of God with you all the time. You're going to have His purpose out before you all the time. And you're going to have the power flowing through you all the time. Amen. And you will leave a legacy that will be remembered for years to come. God bless all of you so much. Let me pray for you, and I'm going to ask Parkey to come and close. Why don't you stand? I just want to speak a word over you, and then I'll turn it to Pastor Parkey to close. Father, I just pray now for each and every person here today. Lord, I pray that this word will saturate and go deep into their hearts and their spirits, and it'll be something that will cause them to rise up, even in the midst of adversity, even when everything around them seems to be burning and on fire. The word that we are to have a vision, we are to have be willing vessels, we'll have a victory, and we'll get up and we'll walk in that. And I speak it. Holy Spirit of God now, come. And I'm going to speak peace to a situation. The Spirit is, He said, there's a situation going on in a couple of families. The Holy Spirit says He knows about it. It's okay. Everything's going to be all right. Receive the peace. Receive His peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Mungu abariki nyinyi nyote. That's God bless all of you in Swahili.
Amen.
Okay.
Will you sit down for just a second? As I said earlier, we're going to have a lunch after service with David. For those of you that would like to stay around, I know even if you didn't purchase a lunch, if you want to stay and listen to the opportunities that are available, there are opportunities for you guys to get personally involved on an ongoing basis at Christian Ministries in Africa. There are kids that you can sponsor. Some of you maybe can talk to David and Jennifer about pouring into other areas as well. They have medical clinics they on site in Nairobi. They have feeding stations that they do around in different slums and different areas. And there's just a lot of wonderful things you can be involved in. But what I'd like to do is I'd like to just get David. David, if you would, if you just stand right down there and hold that bucket right there. And I want to give you guys an opportunity, because some of you have to go. And I want to give you an opportunity to sow into Christian Ministries in Africa. Now, David, if they do checks or something, do you want them to make it to CMIA? Okay. All right. Well, what we're going to do is we're going to give you an opportunity just to come up and say hi to David. Drop in there an offering for Christian Ministries in Africa. You can do CMIA for short. All right. And you can also give online if you'd rather do that. If you don't have a checkbook or something and you'd rather give online, just put the amount in there and then just put special behind it, behind the amount, put a space, and then put special, and Chandra will be sure that all that money gets to David and Jennifer as well. Now, how many of you sense today, I just want to see this, how many of you sense today that you're in a defining moment in your life right now? If you do, just lift your hands. I'm in a defining moment. Well, David and I just speak over you right now that he who has begun a good work in you is going to bring it to completion. So we speak completion over you in the name of Jesus. For those of you that are out there that may need to give your life to the Lord, and that's their defining moment you're in, as you surrender your life to Him, we just speak the fullness of the Spirit over your life. And all of you that are out there that are saved, that are in the midst of something, God's saying something to your life, doing something in your life, we just say yes to it, and we release the power of the Holy Spirit in your life to bring it to completion. And we thank you for it, Lord, and we say yes to it in Jesus' name. They said amen. Amen.